Gareth's just stolen the beginning of my sermon by introducing me. It's such a pleasure to be back at Ridgeway. It feels like it's been a little while, but I'm looking around and I can still see lots of faces that I know, particularly enjoying the flute playing. I play the flute. How you can do that from chords, I don't know. And the glow stick sculptures going on behind me as well. There's talent in this church. I was reminiscing this week about my time growing up at Ridgeway and thinking about how I think this service probably was my favourite service of the year. Not so much because it was Christmassy. I think it took me a little while to realise that it did happen at Christmas. There was just something about coming to church in the dark that I found quite exciting. And there was one particular year that I remember when I was a child, and I was asked to give my favourite Christmas memory at the front. Some people had to say their favourite Christmas carol. I got favourite Christmas memory. And I was thinking, actually, if I had to share my favourite Christmas memory now, I think I would say the same thing. It was a Christmas maybe a few years before, and I've always been one of those at Christmas who gets really overexcited, usually ends up crying on Christmas Day. I would like to say that I've grown out of that, but I'm not sure that's quite true. And I knew that the sort of the quickest way to get to Christmas Day was to go to sleep. And I tried every single year, but I just could never go to sleep. And this particular year, I was lying there. I think it was something like 3 a.m. and I was trying to pass the time. And I realized that my brother was awake, and I was thrilled to find this out. And I went through to see him, and I persuaded him that trying to sleep any longer was futile, and that instead we would have to try and pass the time together. And we did the obvious thing that you do in the middle of the night if you're trying to while away some hours. We picked out a 3-hour strategic board game, and we played it between 3 and 6 a.m. on Christmas morning. And inevitably, that Christmas day began with an argument over who had won this particular board game. And we still can't agree on that today. But I think that is my favorite Christmas memory, and I tell you that story because I so remember that the sense of anticipation, the excitement for the sun to rise, this sense of waiting for the new day. Why? Because with the new day, there would be new things. There would be presents. There would be turkey and stuffing and Harvey's Bristol cream sherry or whatever it was Dad liked that I was allowed to try. There'd be an hour of TV. There'd be the Doctor Who Christmas special. There would be good things. And maybe that's not your experience of Christmas, but you will relate to the feeling of waiting for something new. And we're going to look just for a few minutes now at the words of a song. And this is a song that Zechariah sings, and I like to think of it as one of the earliest Christmas carols to have been written. We don't talk much about Zechariah in the Christmas story. But it is really with Zechariah that Luke's narrative of the Christmas story begins. Here's a few buzz facts about Zechariah. Zechariah was married to Elizabeth. And Zechariah and Elizabeth, by the grace of God, have a son at a very old age. And if you know the story, this child becomes known as John the Baptist. Zechariah was also a Jewish priest. He would serve God in the temple. Zechariah would have been very familiar with the promises of God. Promises made hundreds of years before him. One promise in particular, that one day God would send a savior, a king, one through whom all the nations would be blessed. A savior, you might say, of the world. And Zechariah and the generations before him had been waiting for hundreds of years to see the fulfillment of that promise. And Luke, in his gospel at the start of the Christmas story, he records the moment when Zechariah realizes that that day had come, that that moment had very nearly arrived, and his eyes would see this Savior. God had remembered. And Zechariah's response to this is to sing. And I'm going to read you some of what he says. It's quite a long song. I do encourage you to go away and read all of it. It's remarkable what's contained in there. But for now, I'm just going to read us the last two verses that he sings, because I think this is just such a beautiful summary of the hope that Christmas brings. This is what he says. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us into the path of peace. Oh, my beautiful words. So Zechariah speaks of the birth of Jesus as the dawning of a new day. And with that day, there would be new mercy, there would be new light, and there would be new peace. And we're just going to spend a few minutes thinking about each of those. So new mercy. One thing that I love about the Christmas story, and I think one thing that I can't help but see in greater and greater measure the more that I read it, is just how much it tells us about God's heart for his people, God's heart for those that he created. Zechariah answers a question in these verses that I don't think we often ask. Why did the first Christmas happen? Why did Jesus come? And Zechariah tells us it was because of God's tender mercy. We have a God who is rich in mercy. In fact, he is not described in the Bible as rich in anything else. And you know, I see this so clearly throughout the narrative of the Bible in the way that God interacts with his people. Time and time again, you get this refrain running through the Old Testament where God says to his people, he says, "You will be my people and I will be your God." And his people, they turn around and they say, "No, no, no, you will not be our God." And they turn away. And then later on, God, he rescues them. He brings them back. He makes them a people again. And he says over them, "You will be my people and I will be your God." And again, we see that the people turn around and they say, "No, no, no, you will not be our God." But each time God has mercy, each time he brings his people back. Somebody at work asked me a little while ago, I work in a lab, and this girl that I supervise, she came to me and she said, "I've been meaning to ask you this." I don't know where this came from. She said, "What is the Bible about?" And I sort of panicked, and I sort of said, "Well, there's quite a lot of stuff in the Bible. There's quite a lot of different stories. It's about quite a lot of different things." And I was looking at her face, and I don't think this is what she was hoping for. I think she was looking for quite a succinct response. And I thought, well, it's quite a long book. It's quite difficult to summarize. Really fudged that opportunity. But I've thought about that since. And I think if I was back in that moment, and I could answer that question again, I would say this. This book is the story of God's endless, relentless, and sacrificial pursuit of us. And the coming of Jesus at Christmas is the pinnacle of that story. If you're here and you're in any doubt about how much this God cares for you, about how much he wants to know you, look at the Christmas story. So with the new day would come new mercy. With the new day also, Zechariah says, would come new light. Zechariah's song is full of imagery. If you've got a good imagination, you will like these verses. He paints this beautiful picture where he compares the birth of Jesus to the dawn. He says, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. Can you picture it? Light breaking into darkness as the dawn breaks into the night. It's tempting to skip straight to talking about the light, but what do we mean by the darkness? I was scrolling through BBC News as I had my breakfast this morning, and to be honest, I stopped. I stopped because every story that I read was so overwhelmingly sad. I scrolled down the page in the hope of finding a meaningful good news story, and there just wasn't really one. There is real darkness in our world. Maybe it's a little harder to recognize that that darkness isn't just out there. It's not just external to us, but actually, if I'm honest, I see it in myself. I see it in my own heart. There is envy. There is pride. There is judgment. There are harmful patterns of behavior. Maybe you can relate to some of those. Or maybe there are other things that spring to mind. It sounds pretty bleak, doesn't it? You think, oh, this is a carol service. It's kind of uncomfortable to talk about. And yet we cannot hope to make sense of the light if we do not see that there is darkness. What would the point of the dawn be if there were no night? But Zechariah is rejoicing. Why? Because with the birth of Jesus, light enters the world. It blows my mind that when God sees the brokenness of our world, sees the troubled state that we're in, he does not stay from afar and look on. No, such is his mercy, such is his grace, such is his endless pursuit of us that the light stepped into the darkness. John puts it like this: the Word became human and made his home amongst us. And Jerry read these words: and so now the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Isn't that the hope that we have at Christmas? This Jesus, who was born to Mary in a stable in Bethlehem 30 years later, having lived a perfect life, would go to the cross. And there he would die between two criminals. And he would take all of the darkness of the world upon himself. Quite literally, in fact, have you noticed that in the account, when Jesus dies at 3 p.m, there is darkness across the land. The light of the world was put out. Why? That we might walk in the light. What does that mean? Well, in Jesus, we can be forgiven. And this is not a partial thing. Jesus is not like my rubbish bike light that I really need to stop relying on. No, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so I have removed your sin from you. We are spotless before God. And that also means that we need no longer face the consequences of that sin. Zechariah speaks of light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And the good news is that for those in Christ, that is no longer where we sit. Why? Because 3 days after Jesus died on that cross, he rose again. And that means that for me and for you, there is a certain hope that we too will be raised with him. No wonder Zechariah is singing. No wonder Zechariah is rejoicing. It's a new mercy, new light. And finally, we'll come into land with this. With the new day, there is new peace. This is what the angels say in the field with the shepherds, isn't it? Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. And Zechariah puts it slightly differently. He speaks of us being led onto the path of peace. Isn't that the kind of path you want to be on? Well, Romans 5 says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. In Jesus, there is peace with God. And it is through that relationship that we can then have with God that we can know this peace in our own lives. This is what the Bible speaks of, peace that surpasses all understanding. Peace that guards your heart. Peace that is apart from our circumstances. And that is an invitation to all who believe to seek and expect that kind of life. But I did feel as I was praying about what to say here, to be a little bit honest. Maybe you're here and you are a Christian and you do believe this stuff and you're thinking, okay, but honestly right now I'm not experiencing a great deal of that peace. And I just felt God wanted me to say, honestly, in the last year, me neither. And yet, it is my testimony. It is my testimony that the times when I have known the greatest peace, the times when I have known the greatest measure of peace have been when I have laid my trouble before the Lord. When I have come to him and said, Lord, I lost that peace that you gave me. Grant me that peace again. Let me encourage you this Christmas to do that. Okay, and then finally, there is a promise that one day we will live in a world where there is only peace. It's a hard thing to imagine, isn't it? But Jesus has bought that future for us. That is the wonderful hope that we have. I'm just going to pray. Father, we thank you for the song of Zechariah. We thank you for the dawning of the new day. And Lord, we thank you that such was your mercy. Such is your grace, such is your endless pursuit of us that you stepped into our broken world to rescue us from it. And Lord, I pray for anyone here who wouldn't call themselves a Christian or maybe doesn't often come to church. Lord, I just pray that you would meet with them. Lord, this peace, this life of light and freedom, of walking on the path of peace is for all of us. And Father, I pray for this church. I thank you for all of these wonderful people. I just want to pray this blessing from Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.